We still do 7 NUFC Matters show a week for free. But if you want to help support NUFC Matters, then there are a few ways of doing it. Hit the like button on each live broadcast and video. This helps the channel grow. Hit the subscribe button and select the all notifications bell so you don't miss a single show. If you want to help us financially, then you can join the channel using this button with the membership starting at $1.99 a month. Or you can drop us a donation in the chat using a super sticker. We're also looking for sponsors. If you'd like your brand advertised on the flyers for the show and featured during the ad break, then email John at nufcmatters.com to arrange today.
Hush now, city cans, gather round for other men's. Hush now, city cats. When it came to me after so long, I didn't have no choices, choices in the streets where I was from. When I think about the pain, I didn't have no choices, choices. I took what I had sworn. Hush now, city kids, gather round for Robin Mance. Hush now, city kids.
Good evening. Welcome to Geordie's here. Geordie's there on NUFC Matters with me, Steve Wraith. Welcome to Mitch, to George, to Kevin, to Stu, and to Albaline, and to you for an hour of, a post-mortem maybe after last night's result. Are we going to try and find someone who's upbeat on the panel amongst all the misery that I'm seeing on social media? Well, we'll wait and see. So, Mitch, Newcastle travel to Stamford Bridge. In the build-up, we said it wasn't a happy hunting ground. It continues not to be a happy hunting ground. I think the most disappointing thing, Mitch, was the fact that, you know, that was a game there that we could have won. You know, Chelsea were no great shakes. They've spent, £1 billion or more on assembling a side which has misfired for the last couple of years. So, from my perspective, so disappointing, you know. Some plus points. Tino looked great last night. Two wonderful strikes from Murphy and from Isak. But other than that, I was struggling to find positives in last night's performance. And a defeat which doesn't end our European, you know, aspirations. But at the same time, it just adds to the doom and gloom again. You know, we thought we'd turned a corner. And I love what Biffa put on NUFC.com this morning. He said, the Wolves game, we felt as if we turned a corner. It turns out it was a cul-de-sac leading to Stamford Bridge. And I think that probably sums it up. But, you know, ups and downs of being a Newcastle fan, Mitch.
Another game where our feelings and inadequacies were more to blame for the end result than anything else, than facing a team that played in a stellar fashion, that we know, or facing a team that had somebody who was really outstanding on the day. Reading the press today about raving about Cole Palmer, I'm sorry, he was bang average, and that was all he had to be. Uh-huh. That was all he had to be. I described the Mackhams game at the weekend as them looking like a team that's schizophrenic. I think we are as well. Where was that team that turned out on Saturday? That turned out against Wolves. You know, you're absolutely right about feeling that we turned the corner. And we didn't even show half of the intelligence on the football pitch that we did against Wolves. We were shy again at the back in terms of pace. I don't know, Botman seems to have dropped off a cliff in terms of performance level. Midfield looked pedestrian and single paced again. And the usual sort of bright sparks just weren't sparking enough. Isak took his goal very well, as did Murphy. and once again we're scoring two goals away from home and not getting any, not even getting a single point. And that's ridiculous. And I know I've seen stats saying, like, for example, how many goals were conceded with and without Pope. But surely it's something much deeper than just missing a goalkeeper. It's absolutely ridiculous and unacceptable. And again, a word I've used too many times this season. Unacceptable. And I think we're, as a fan base, are right to ask questions yet again. But at the same time, again, having a direct comparison to the Wolves game makes it even more frustrating, because we could have taken Chelsea. There's no doubt about that. And I think anybody with half a footballing brain should have been able to see that. We made our own problems for ourselves, and we got exactly what we deserved out of it because of it.
Okay, George, we'll come to you. I'm not sure whether you're getting a couple of text messages there or something, George. So I'll come to you. I had to mute you because I think it was your phone going off. But if you're with us, no, George, it's all right. give us your views on last night's game.
Yeah. Well, it was as Neil says. I'm just trying to switch the bloody thing off. That's what I'm doing. Right, that's it. I'm on silent. That's it. Neil said it. I said before the match, if the team that turned up, played for Wolves against Wolves on Saturday, turned up last night with nothing to fear. Well, not one of them. Well, I'll excuse Tino. He's the only one that did anything that looked like anywhere near what he did at the weekend. The rest were hopeless. And mystery. Is Botman fit or is he not fit? I mean, what's the matter? He just isn't there. He isn't there at the moment, where before he was the best central defender in the Premiership. And at the moment, he's just not. He's just not there at all. And there's a desire missing, never mind pace. The pace is bad enough, but the desire seems to have disappeared as well for some reason. And that's got to be something for me in the dressing room, because it went through the whole team. It was awful. It was awful. And Sean Longstaff, somebody saying that time he had a rest. Yeah, it is time he had a rest. I mean, he was just non-existent last night. Non-existent. But he wasn't alone. He was with us as well. And then, we get a great goal from Isak, the sort of thing that should pep you up and get you going. And it didn't. We just fell flat again. And that was so, so disappointing. And Chelsea were there for the taking, as far as I was concerned. Absolutely there for the taking. There was very little in that team I would be bothered about coming into our team, or the team that played against Wolves on Saturday. But the team that played last night, I just didn't recognise it at all, which is very worrying. It's bad enough when a team plays bad and you can see there's a system gone wrong, or it's been there a while. But this is Neil's used the word schizophrenic. It was. You look at the Wolves game at the weekend, and then look at that one last night, and you can't imagine it's the same team. You just can't imagine it's the same team. They're just absolutely awful. And there's some work to be done, not just on the training ground. I think there's some work to be done in the dressing room for me, because there's something quite wrong. Yes, I think there is an argument that they're missing Hope, but Pope rather. But really, to that extent, no, I agree with Neil. Maybe it's for a little bit, but that back five that was the best back five in the country last year have suddenly become one of the easiest to get through, and that's got to be. There's got to be answers in the dressing room or on the training pitch for that. And as I said, Botman's just a shadow of his former self. And as I say, young Tino was the only one that did anything that looked real. Looked like he looked like a real replacement for Trippier last night. I thought he worked his socks off for no reward at all.
Was it me or was Tino being targeted last night as well?
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, he was. He was. Yes, he was. He was being targeted. And now I suspect that's from their dressing room. Yes, they think that they could have wound him up or something. But no, he was. They were having a go at him deliberately. But he wrote it all. I thought he was magnificent. And the other danger is, of course, is that having young players in the mix at the moment, like Lewis Miley. Being in that sort of schizophrenic atmosphere where one week you're at the top, next week you're at the bottom, ain't good for your development. It's not good for your development at all. And that was something else that worried me. So, no, a depressing night, just unbelievably so depressing. Couldn't believe how easy we were to go through, how easy it was to break we down, how easy it was to hit the back of our net, and that's never been us last year and for a good bit of this year. But even just go to Wolves on Saturday, as I keep saying, if the same team had been out and played the same as they did on Saturday, that would have been a different game last night. But they didn't, and there's got to be a reason for that. It can't be just about going away from home. If it is, we're in serious bloody trouble again, you know. But there's got to be some serious work done in the dressing room and on the training pitch after last night.
Kev, where did it all go wrong?
Conceding after 6 minutes. Essentially, the first goal was pivotal in the game, and I wouldn't say thankfully. Again, I had to go to work, so I only watched the first 45 and I had to listen on the good old radio on the way to work whilst, you know, another sloppy goal goes in from what was said. But anyway, you know, like Mitch and George have said, and I've said this for a while, it looks like there's zero cohesiveness, disjointed, lack of endeavour, no creative spark, just going through the motions. And is it, like I said last night, is it like down tools and flip-flops on and let's get to the summer and we'll see what happens in the summer? Is that the mentality now in the dressing room? George said, is there something going on? For me, it always goes to the top person in that dressing room, and that's the head coach. And that goes to Eddie Howe. And I'm not the outcamp. I'm not. But again, that has to be evaluated somehow. Because if you have a game plan, who knows what that was last night? Because again, it looked disjointed. It looked, who knows what it was? But if you go with a game plan to sort of counterattack, but kind of sort of have a high press, then there's a obvious confusion of what's happening. But that comes from him. So now are the players having a lack of trust of going out? Not saying he's lost the dressing room. I'm just saying, do they trust him enough now? Can we go to Chelsea and say, hey, like Mitch, you're playing left back, Stu, you're up front just because you can knock somebody about, and say, I'll give you your jobs and whatever, and can you go and execute those roles and responsibilities? And I don't think the players actually trust. So if I said this to Mitch, just knock it down the line, play inside, do whatever. Stu, just go and elbow somebody, two-foot somebody, do your job. I don't think they're trusting what's being put across anymore. I think that's how deep it goes. So anyway, that's just my opinion on that side of it. Again, instead of, you know, schizophrenia, now we're looking at insanity because you're doing the same thing over and over again and it's the same results coming out. You know, so it's paralleled. The first goal for me was a disgraceful defending. If you look at it from my perspective, when the ball comes in, I think Martin Dubravka needs to absolutely scream at Sven Botman again and claim that ball versus Sven Botman clearing it. Okay, the second phase, Botman cleared it, poor clearance. What was the press like? Everybody just stood on the 6-yard box, penalty spot, and just stood there. I mean, my missus could have scored that. You know, but there was no press. There was no reaction to the ball. That because I, in my world, what I say, and I break it down, what's the danger in the game? I don't care about movement of players. I don't care about whatever. The danger in the game is the ball, because that's what you score with. That's how dumbed down I have to go. But, you know, so when the ball gets pushed out of the 18-yard box, there was no reaction. There was zero reaction. There was zero desire to put your body on the line like we did last year to stop a ball going in the back in it. That's denying the shot, denying the attacks, and nullifying their attack. So outside of that, I mean, the Isaac goal, like Mitch said, was a brilliant finish. You know, and then we're going off time 1-1. Then, and for me, it would be at halftime team talk. Let's go get after him. Let's go for it. You know, we've got them on the back foot. We're 1-1. We've just scored before half time. You know, they were poor at best. We were even worse. I mean, it was dross. It was an awful watch. I think we give Chelsea too much respect. Let them have the ball. There was no press in the midfield. With Endo, Fernandez looked a world beater. Cole Palmer they floated around. Colin Gallagher apparently had the flu pretty much, and he looked like he floated around and he could play. He was never ever ill, you know. But we give them too much time and space. We give them too much respect. Get in the face, like I said last night. If you have the intention of playing a high pressing game and a gang and press, you have to press all over the field in twos and threes. If you lose the ball, like Liverpool against Man City, they were all over them like a bad rash. You have to be, and you stamp your attention on the game early, and we didn't. And that's the most frustrating thing about where we are now. We're like hesitant to press, we're hesitant to do this, we're hesitant to do whatever's been told to them, because I think, again, like my original point, I think there's a lack of trust of what's been said and outlaid from a coaching perspective, a tactical perspective. And again, you know, I think that, like Georgie said, it has to be looked at. And we'll talk. I can talk about periodization and recovery times and injuries. Don't care. Mitch can tell you about the NFL. What the phrase is, next person up. If you get an injury, the next player's standing right on the sideline, the next person's up. It doesn't matter how many. You could have 20 players. You still got to go and win a game. And that's down to the head coach, the coordinators over here in the NFL. But in our world, in the football world, is your assistant coaches, your Graham Jones, what he's doing, what his influence is. What's the set plays looking like? Because they were mundane at best, because why did we play it at the edge of the box and go all the way back the goalkeeper pretty much in a corner? Why didn't we just chuck it in there and have outdo them from height? That's why we played Dan Byrne, because you've got height and Sven Botman's got height. So it was just it was weird. It was odd. And it's getting a bit boring, essentially. You know what we're going to do,
yeah.
And it's just all going to break down. And so I think, again, not changing the gaffer, but I think, again, a change of mentality and an approach might have to take place.
Harsh words, and some would say fair words, from Kev on last night's performance, Stu. Well, it wasn't a 3-1, it was a 3-2. It was no penman last night, but there's been worse days, and been a lot worse days than last night. But I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that it comes when people felt the corner had been turned, when players were coming back, and then we get another injury. You know, Anthony Gordon goes off. Still no diagnosis, you know, as to exactly where we're at with that situation. Nothing official yet, but didn't look good. Harvey Barnes missing last night. Injured now and out until after the international break. So we're not getting a break in those injuries either. But yeah, give us your take on the game last night.
Well, before I go into the take, there's a couple of things I wanted to mention. It's important that we do look at a positive. And I think the performance of Livramento, he was outstanding. and some of the more senior players should hang their heads in shame with the effort he put in, his willingness. They should be embarrassed by the way he played, and they just allowed him to do it. He was up and down that wing. He showed what a proper wing back should do, and he's definitely part of our future. The second thing I was going to mention before I start dissecting the game was probably the most amateurish moment I've seen in a long, long time, was how the physio attended to Anthony Gordon's leg. The way he just yanked it like that, you could see him screaming in pain. He was telling them before he even got there that there's pain here, it's sore, it's knees, the ligaments, whatever, and he just yanked it. Now, it might have been something that could have been sprayed and he might have hobbled on, et cetera, et cetera. But for me, that's got to put him out to question whether he'd play again this season. So that's his Euros out the way, if that's the case.
I mean, I think collectively, Stu, I 100% agree with you. I didn't want you to lose your track on this and go off. I agree. I mean, I winced at that. I'm not a physio. Yeah. I'm not a doctor. I'm just a football fan who watches stuff. And I've played football myself. And even in good old Sunday football, Stu, I would never have expected my guy who used to run on with a bucket and the magic sponge to yank somebody's knee like that.
I tell you, Job's got to be in trouble for something like that once they look at it. It really was. It was so amateurish. It was just terrible. Mm. It was shocking. But if I get back on, I've not been positive. I'd rather be more realistic. And then for me, when there's players there, and we should name them because they've been consistently indifferent, if I'm being kind, for most of this season. And that's Byrne, Miggy, and Longstaff. They should be nowhere near our starting 11 come next season, and they have to show no sentiment. I think they're a group of certain players, not just those three others, who peaked last season, and they're not going to get better. They're not going to play as well as they did last season. They are regressing. So in layman's terms, we need a big summer clear out and cash in as much as we can for what we don't want to keep. Thanks for your service. Best of luck, et cetera, et cetera. And cutting as it may sound, I think Eddie Howe knows this, and he's just trying to keep the squad together up until the rest of the season. Now, you've got players like Bruno. He sees the game in slow motion. Look at the pass he made for Isak. And he needs players. He sees the bigger picture. He needs players of equal ability or as close to his ability as we can to make him look even better. But when you get people just standing watching, wondering what he's going to do, we need players who are anticipating what he's going to do. And yes, I noticed it. I know I said in our group, Tino Livramento, he had four or five occasions, even in the first half alone, where he could have passed it to Miggy, and he chose not to. It's as if he didn't have enough belief in him that the ball was going to be advanced more or was going to be more beneficial to the team. Bruno was the same with the Longstaff. And I don't want to go over the top with it, but it's not a one-off. It's been happening too consistently for it to say it's just a one-off. It's not the end of the world, but what it does show is how threadbare our squad is. Without Gordon, without Barnes, we need to, whatever, come hell or high water, keep Isak fit to the rest of the season, because if not, the wheels can come off. But if we can keep him fit and Barnes can get back quicker and the physio didn't do such a bad job with Anthony Gordon and he gets back, we will be playing teams who really do have nothing to play for, and we can finish the season with a rattle. But it's keeping Isak fit is a real, real issue for us, and it's something that we've got to do. What we need is Bruno to get some sleep. I'm just concerned that the blue chip players will look and think, do I want to waste another season of my career? And when I'm saying blue chip players, at the moment, we've got two on the pitch. If you're discounting Livramento with him being younger, and that's Bruno and Isak, are they wanting to stay with a squad that's just treading water? And this is where the tough decisions have to be made. And for me, we'll go to Man City on Saturday. It could be ideal because no one expects us to get anything. But the Longstaffs, the Burns, the Botmans, Potman as well, and I've been one of his biggest fans since he joined. The need rested or dropped, whichever way you've rotated, whichever way you want to dress it up, because they're too slow, they're too stagnant. They're not doing anything where you could put Target back in. He's got more pace. You can have even put Miley in, but Anderson, give him the minutes. There's changes that can be made. Lascelles will relish the battle against Haaland, and then Shaw can sweep up with Alvarez. There's so much that can be changed to at least go there and give us a fist of it. Because from what they performed last night, they should be ashamed of themselves. And we got ourselves all excited after the way we beat Wolves, thinking, right, we're on the up now. But I tell you what, when they go training, I think they must go in cars and knock black cats over or walk under ladders or something, because the look just gets worse and worse when it comes to the injury. You know, we just seem to get ourselves right back on, and things were getting back to where we wanted to be. And then you see Gordon getting injured like that. Barnes picks up a minor strain, hopefully. But we've got, after the Man City game, there's an international break, isn't there? So there's time for people to get back. And they just need to go to this game on Saturday and play with no fear, because that Chelsea team is average. And it shows how far we have come in such a short space of time, when we're angry and frustrated at losing 3-2 to Chelsea. But they are an average team. And league-wise, we're an average team at the moment, but we know we're capable of so much more. And we should have performed better last night, and they didn't. And that's the thing. It's not getting beat. We've got beat for years and years and years watching the team. It's the manner of the defeat. And it was the lack of willingness to do the yards. Now, from what I could hear, the supporters were outstanding last night, and they're putting the miles in, they're putting the shift in, just need the same on the pitch. And I think Eddie Howe would have felt let down last night, but he's not the right type of manager to come out and slate the team publicly. Hopefully he's done it privately.
Okay. Al Waleed, what was your views of Newcastle's trip to Stamford Bridge last night and the 3-2 defeat?
You lads summarized it very well, especially Kevin. He said it exactly what I'd like to say. But I may add that if I'm talking to about the players, I felt kind that they are not have something to look for in the Premier League this season. They didn't have it's very difficult to have a European seat. Maybe also they're thinking about the FA Cup. For managerial thing, Eddie Howe, he have great plan A, but unfortunately he doesn't have enough squad to keep winning every game. Chelsea have, I believe yesterday, maybe just more skillful individuals more than Newcastle. The plan B, you're talking about the defense, they look bad, but I believe it's also conflict with the midfield. Longstaff, and sorry to say that, Longstaff or Miley, they are not enough for facing such like Enzo, Casido. They are much better player defensively. So I hope in the summer we fix all this issue. I'm not, and even if we win yesterday, if we won yesterday, it doesn't mean that we still have problem to fix. So this season is just, I think, just I'm hoping to focus as well. As you said, Steve, we take surprise Manchester City. Oh, sorry, Benman says that. That we are not candidate, so maybe we can get to quarterfinals since a very long time. I hope we fix all this issue in the summer, and I'm confident this will happen. And after this, Dan Ashworth and Andy Howe, they fix the situation for the bringing the players. So I'm just looking more for the the FA Cup and the summer transfers.
Okay, good stuff, lads. Halfway through the show, time for the ads. A big thanks to all our sponsors, Skips and Bins. Go to their website, skipsandbins.com. Email inquiries at skipsandbins.com or telephone 0800 25 45 25 3. Easy contract free and pay as you go waste collection. Thanks to Mr. Vicky's Sauces, handmade in Cumbria. Go to their website, mrvickys.co.uk. Email info at mrvickys.co.uk or telephone 01768 210 102. Thanks to United Group Travel. Go to their website, unitedgrouptravel.com. Email info at unitedgrouptravel.com or phone 01670 632 460 or mobile 0791 666 4174. They're a local company from Morpeth and there are no strangers on our tours, just friends you haven't met yet. Big thanks to Media Arts for all the help with the video side of things. And if you want to subscribe to the channel, hit the subscribe button under the video. Click the thumb up to like the video and click share to share to your social media. If you want to help the channel financially, you can pay a one-off £25 fee. You get a cup, a scarf, a pen and a membership card and entry into the NUFC Matters monthly draw. Email john at nufcmatters.com for more details. Or if you've got a smartphone, scan the QR code now and it takes you straight to the membership pack. We also support the food bank on this channel. Go to nufcfansfoodbank.co.uk and you'll find the match day bucket. You can make a donation virtually today. You can also find us on iTunes, Spotify and other podcast providers. We also do events during the year. NUFC Matters Live will be at the O2 City Hall on Friday the 2nd of August for an evening with Rob Lee, One Night in Antwerp. Tickets start at £15 and you can get them from Ticketmaster.co.uk. An evening with the entertainers takes place on Friday the 24th of January 2025 at the Tyne Theatre and Opera House in Newcastle. Telephone 0844 249 1000 or visit the website tynetheatreandoperahouse.uk to buy tickets today. You can also catch me on the North East Footy Breakfast Show live on Tune Radio weekdays 7 till 9 a.m. on DAB, smart speakers and thetuneuk.com. And don't forget the end of season due 20th of July. Tickets are a tenner and money going towards Dementia Matters. Ask George, Super Matt and Gibbo and the Long Sands are your entertainment. And even with Peter Beardsley, tickets are available now on Woucher 2nd of June at the Tyneside Irish Centre as well. Okay, lots of comments coming in, lots of negativity towards Eddie Howe, some from a couple of regulars in the chat, some from a few new faces. King Murphy says, Eddie's time is up, one-dimensional, can't change a game, very questionable subs, it's been like this for too long. Your nightmare has been very active tonight, time for Howe to leave the club. I am absolutely sick of him. I'd replace him tomorrow. Who is current with Hansi Flick, who's currently available. Howe's not good enough. He thinks he's managing Bournemouth. Lots of people criticising his tactics. Mark Byers, I've always been Howe in because he wasn't backed enough in the windows, but insistence on some strange decisions like giving Longstaff 90 minutes when he was the worst on the park is turning me. Lots of stuff like that tonight, Mitch, from some of the regulars in the chat, it has to be said, one or two people who are seemingly new to the channel. I mean, this is the problem when you're the manager. You're going to get it in the neck when things don't go right. People are quick to praise you, but when people aren't happy, they're going to have a pop, aren't they?
And that's why it's a tough job. And that's why people have got to be big enough to take all of that on the chin and push through the tough times to then hopefully bask in the glory of the good times. I think as a fan base, it's very difficult because, again, you get degrees of overreaction still. And again, I'll say this once again, you can be critical of what's going on and some of his current decisions without necessarily being Howe out. However, this particular run of form has gone on long enough that the rope that he's been given, the length of it is getting shorter and shorter. Because, yes, injuries have had an impact and suspensions. Of course they have. We all know that. We're not daft. But that, doesn't explain a back five that was the best in the Premier League by a country mile suddenly becoming the worst in the Premier League in a four-month period. We shouldn't be scoring two, three, and four goals in games to come away with no points or a point. That's, by any metric you want to look at it, totally unacceptable. And that's not being ungrateful, that's not being difficult. What that is a winning mentality. And it's one of the things we as a fan base need to understand, that we have a right to get to a point where being mediocre isn't acceptable. Mediocre was all we could hope for under Mike Ashley. That was the height of our aspirations, was mediocrity. We know we're better than that. We know we can be better than that because we've got the evidence in terms of league position last year, in terms of form, and in terms of results. So I think what does need to happen, and this is up to the owners and the people in high places, is a root and branch deconstruction of this season to understand where it's gone wrong and to make sure it doesn't happen again. We have a chairman who was on record on a television programme telling the world he won't stop till we're number one. And the only thing we're number one in at the minute is goals conceded. And that's not what he meant, I'm quite sure. And so we're not being impatient, we're not being ungrateful, we're not being difficult if we're asking questions about what's going on. Quite the opposite. It's because we care and we want to see everything going better. And I think as long as people within the club, and Eddie Howe included, understands fully where it's gone wrong and are putting things in place to make sure it doesn't happen again, that's great. But we are allowed as a fan base to turn around and say mediocre isn't the height of our ambitions, and we are allowed to be unhappy about that.
So for me, I'll tell you where I stand, Mitch. Eddie Howe deserves to start next season as manager. Yes. That's where I stand. I think he's got enough credit in the bank. I think he needs an opportunity to start next season. And I can see that some people will say, from their perspective, they could do that. We could get off to a horrendous start. I've seen somebody say it in the chat. We could be in a horrendous place by Christmas and it's screwing another season up. But for me, for what Eddie Howe's done with his football club in the first 2 years, you know, that he's been here, I do think he deserves an opportunity. So that's where I stand. Are you the same?
Sorry, that me?
No, Mitch, are you the same, Mitch? Would you keep Howe?
Yeah, the most important point you made there, Steve, is he's got the credit in the bank.
Yeah.
What he did to that squad when we were rock bottom and destined for relegation.
Yeah.
Then getting that same squad with a few additions into the Champions League positions is more than enough credit in the bank to say, well, look, the evidence on the balance of things is this can be turned around.
Yeah.
And I think he's deserves a chance too.
Okay, George, you've heard what me and Mitch have said. What's your feelings on Eddie Howe's position at the moment? And would you agree that he deserves the opportunity to start as Newcastle United manager next year? Because there is already a momentum building. Should Newcastle crash out of the FA Cup against Man City at the weekend, you know, we've then got West Ham at home. You know, then on the horizon, we've got some big games. We've got Everton who are battling relegation, but then we've got Spurs and Manchester United. So, you know, we've seen Newcastle go out of the frying pan into the fire on numerous occasions in the last 2 years and come out smelling of roses. But, yeah, what's your take on the Eddie Howe out campaign that seems to be building a little bit of momentum on social media?
It's not surprising because of the disappointment people will feel after last year. From a personal point of view, it's a question that'll answer itself. If it doesn't get answered on the field, we'll not have to think about where he's going because it'll be gone. It's as simple as that. If he doesn't pull things around by the end of the season and we get something like a reasonable place in the league, then I don't think it's a question we'll have to ask, because I can't see the owners accepting something which is second rate. And after last night, that's where we would be. We would be very second rate. So from a personal point of view, yes, he's got the credit because of what he's done. I mean, I think of the number of players who were non-starters under Bruce and suddenly become world beaters under Eddie Howe, including Joe Linton and others. It's just an amazing turnaround. How we perform towards the end of the season will answer the question for me, Steve. If we end up below the middle, I think he'll be gone, is my view, whether we like it or not, because our owners have a right to expect something different. Our fans have the right to expect something different. Last night wasn't acceptable by any standards, by anybody, by fans. The fans last night demonstrated yet again how wonderful they are, the group that travel away. I mean, you can't believe the team that was losing like they were last night and looking awful, and yet the fans were out shouting the home fans, just unbelievable. But that's all right for a while. But if we slip much more, I can see that turning slightly nasty as well, because it's just not acceptable. So I think the question is, for me personally, yes, he's got the credit in the bank to stay where he is for another season at least. But if we fall so far, it's not even a question that'll be answered, because I think he'll be gone. I think he would be gone.
Okay, Kev, before I ask you about Eddie Howe, I know you were patiently wanting to just comment on the Anthony Gordon situation that we talked about. You didn't get a chance to talk about that. Just the physio's response to him lying on the ground in agony and then writhing his leg around, which, again, none of us are medical experts in that field. What was your...
Well, I'm not saying I am, but I know in terms of injury and physio running on and whatever, yes, it could have been when he pulled up earlier in the half, it could have happened then. But as a physio running on, you have to manipulate, get a range of motion of the rigors of the, you know, feeling of what's going on within the knee. Yes, it could have been a major injury, but the physio has to actually feel and get a range of motion or get an opinion right there and then of what's actually happened. Yes, he could look screaming out of pain. Yes, so therefore he's moved his knee or whatever, and then he has. But the physio and the doctor, team doctor, whoever was on the field, has to have an initial response. And that's just my opinion. If the initial injury happened earlier, he wouldn't have carried on. He got another knock, yes, then he's laid on his back. But again, the physio, again, reflexology, all the above, you have to move, range of motion, things like that, to sort of the structure of the knee. And is he going to withstand this pressure from all the ACL, the MCL, all the above? You know, he has to understand, the physio team have to really figure out what's actually going on within that structure of the knee, and whether he can withstand what, getting up on his feet, can he move, what? So they have to do that within X minutes, or less, to figure out what's going on. Now, look, obviously, we understand, and I've read today that it's not as bad as first thought. You know, granted,
conflicting reports coming out from
just from what I've seen, you know, but again, that's conjecture. That's just medical opinions. And look, again, I'm not a physiotherapist. I'm a sports scientist, so it's different. So again, they have to manipulate. They have to make sure you can withstand pressure, make sure you can withstand movements.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what that probably looked like. Probably looked worse than probably what it was in terms of what they had to do. Yeah. Yes, it might have could have put him in a different position, a different realm of pain, if you will. I mean, I've had a spiral fracture in my tibia fibia, and the Sunday morning analogy with the magic sponge, and my ankle blew up. Like, no, you can run on, you can run it off. No, I've got it. No. As a player, like I said last night, you know your body better than anybody. You know what's going on. But as a high level physiotherapist or high level doctor, you then know once that occurs of the yelp of a scream or an initial, like a lot of pain, then they make that decision. And like we said with Isaac, they'll go down and they'll just immediately remove him. Andy Gordon's not that type of mentality of a player where he wants to just walk off the field and, you know, like give in and say, I'm in this excruciating pain, but he's probably in excruciating pain. So it's probably more of a, not impact, but it's a twist, it's a nigger, it's a turn, it's something where it's probably more uncomfortable, more than anything. Not that I've done my knee, but I've done my ankle. So I'm just saying they have to do their job. Yes, it might look different to what others might do, but they have to, again, do their job in terms of range of motion.
The one thing you're right on there, Kev, is from a medical point of view, when you've got a patient with pain, sometimes palpation and seeing the reaction can tell you what it is.
Right. And that's what I'm saying, but they have to do that.
Classic, and does it hurt when I press there? Yeah. and if the patient jumps out the chair,
yeah, it does.
You're right in terms of sometimes it might look a little more violent than perhaps it actually in reality is. If we've unfortunately caught the reaction, because that reaction might be telling the physio everything he needs to know.
Yeah, it's just been shown again on TV. I'd only seen it once, and I've just seen it again there. And it's just, I think maybe what really affected everybody at home was the reaction of Gordon. And I think everybody's, you know, none of us are used to seeing that. We're used to seeing them being
kid
gloves. Yeah. And to see them push the knee up and then go up, like that, don't do that. You know, I think that's probably
like what Mitch said. You have to get to that point. It wasn't just extreme. You've got to get to the extreme. They just don't know what they could have done damage. You just don't know. But again, within the knee structure, it's quite complex. So there's a lot of things, you know. So anyway, yeah.
Okay.
The one thing Kev was bang on about there is the physio, although he's there to medically treat them, they should know the players. And Gordon's not the type of player to fade injury.
Right.
So it's quite simple that he was in pain. He told him before he even did it. Yes, he might want to gauge the amount of pain he was in, but to thrust it the way he did. So I'm sorry, I don't think that's acceptable.
Yeah, it's I think it's just the reaction. I've got to be with Stu on there. Yeah.
Sorry. Carry on, Steve.
You're slightly delayed, George. That's all. So yeah, when you're coming in to make a point, it's slightly delayed, but don't worry about it. Okay. Yeah, Kev, just want to ask you about Eddie Howe. We all seem to be very supportive on here. Most people in the chat are saying he's built up the credit. What's your thoughts? Are you more on the other side?
No, he galvanized the club when he took over and gave us a new lease of life and a way of playing football that we've never seen before, but a different way what we haven't seen. And so I think, again, like what Mitch said, his rope's getting shorter and shorter. But unfortunately, football's a business, and results determine decisions that are made at a higher level. And alluding to what George said, you know, they could just at the end of the season just say, no, we're done. After 2 years, you've done what you could do. Thanks very much. Again, I love Eddie Howe. I think he's a brilliant coach in terms of what he's done with the players that he's had available to him. So I can see the summer being a big one. I can see hopefully that he can get a new influx of players to the ones that he actually wants to be involved in his way of playing. But I can see, given what January the January window where we are there, I think then that's when we're going to see decisions being made of actually where we are based off of the summer. If we would get an influx of a large amount of players, of high quality players, and it's still the same, then you've got to look at Eddie Howe and say, well, it hasn't worked. Thank you, but it hasn't worked. We'll give you what you wanted, but unfortunately, we need to move in a different direction, which is sad to say, because if he gets a high-level player, I think he can coach them into probably even better players. But again, it just depends on the spend and what we can and cannot do. That's the big, big question mark over the whole thing going forward, you know? So we'll just see what happens. But I can see him staying up until maybe January next year, in the January transfer window, or January this year, whatever it is. But yeah, we'll see what happens. But I hope he stays, and I hope he actually hits the rubber hits the road, and he'll push on and take us to where we were last year and beyond.
Okay, Stu, Eddie Howe.
I really want Eddie Howe to succeed, and I firmly and truly believe that he can succeed. I think next season will be his litmus test. The owners will not accept failure or more failure, because they'll see the season as a failure, irrespective of the injuries and everything else that we've trotted out as excuses. I think it's from now, it's how we finish the season. Do we just let it fade away, or do we go down fighting, or do we actually get back on the saddle and get up to a position where we are in Europe, which is going to be so important for the brand to attract the type of players that we're looking to attract. It gives us more, not just European, but global recognition, which is in line with Adidas, etc. And I've also heard, I mean, of course, there's a lot of reactionary things about Eddie Howe, and I'm sure he's learning, but he is limited with the options he's got. And has he made the right choice every time? No, he hasn't. But he's made many more right than wrong. So I think it's how we finish this season is going to be important to him, because I think I'll sit down with him at the end of the season and I'll ask them two questions. Question one, what's your vision for next season? Question two, who do we retain from your squad? Like, who are your non-negotiables? And depend on his answer, I think could decide whether they decide to get a new man in or not. And I really hope that it is anyhow. Because I think for the effort he's done and what he's achieved in such a short space of time, I really want him to be the manager that lifts the trophy for us. But I've also seen on social medias as well that people are intimating that PAF have lost interest with us. Two words for that, no chance. The question I would ask back, if I could be bothered to write back to everyone who's probably, well, irrespective, I would say is, when have they not backed us financially when they've had the opportunity to? They've backed us to the limit every single time that they said, right, this is how much you can spend, there's your money. So I've got no doubt that the owners will continue to back us, but they're not daft enough to keep throwing good money after bad. So for Eddie Howe's future, the next few months or the end of the season is going to be critical for him, but not for us as a club, because I've got a message of someone just before there. If you give us a second to read it out, Stevens, someone who watches the show a lot, but I won't name them. a spend of 150 to 250 million guaranteed on new players. Tonali will be back. Joe Linton, etc., will be fit. At least five or six will be out at the end of the contract. We'll have new sponsorship coming in from the likes of Adidas. New superstore going under construction at the stadium by Adidas. We are now classed as one of their elite clubs worldwide. Champions League money coming in. More money from Sella, more money from Noon, more sponsorship partners. And new stadium expansion of plans will be released. The feasibility study will be nearing its conclusion. And it's the consultants, who I mentioned at SSK, who designed Tottenham Stadium. There's going to be the fan zone that we talked about last week. We'll have 1,500 to 2,000 places available. There's so much going the right way. But for us as supporters, you know, sometimes we'll watch it. Well, we have done in the past, watch them in cow sheds as long as they're winning. And that's the most important thing. And that's what Eddie Howe needs to be focused on, is somehow galvanise that team and get them back to what they could be. But the only fear I've got, as I said earlier, I think some players will never reach the heights that they reached last season. And he's maybe been a bit too loyal to certain players. And this is where he has to show his mettle as a manager and be sure he's not scared to make the tough decisions. And that's how he'll keep his job.
Okay, Al Waleed, the final word comes to you tonight. Eddie Howe, how would you feel if Eddie Howe started next season as Newcastle manager? Would you be happy? It looks like a clean sweep if you are, but don't be afraid if you think it would be best to change, to say so.
No, not at all. He should stay. We need to level up the players we're bringing in the summer. I'm not really sure about the budget, but I believe we have enough budget to bring at least four positions. He needs a squad. When Newcastle full squad, we beat almost everybody. And as you said, lads, credit in the bank. I'm not worried about Eddie Howe. Just I'm worried that we need the players. We noticed that. I forgot to say about Julinton. Julinton, and he was a mist. In the middle field. So he exposed that we have weak midfield, weak defense line. We miss strengthening and physicality of Julinton. So if we have more players, I think this will become different for Newcastle, because we need more squad. This is really important. So we have multiple choice of picking the players. But just if I may add about injury of Gordon, sometimes the physical therapist become under pressure. You want to put the player quickly in the game, but in that kind of situation, players react differently on the injuries. Sometimes they are very panicking. So the proper action should be taking out of the field, taking slowly. Calming the player, trying to make him quiet and start to treat quietly. It doesn't have to be quickly. You will not doing any magic. You will everything. No time. It will be fixed. So this is just my addition. Should be taking out and treat quietly, and you can assist normally after the player calm. And because he is under the shock, some players can't. Not that just the players. Any patient, he sometimes panicking of small things, and sometimes no, they have big injury and he doesn't really feel. So this is just my add to that. And thank you.
No, thanks for that, Al Waleed. I'll finish with these two comments. Alistair Legg says, "What Stu has said is so true. We will be massive and soon. Eddie has to support his current players. He can't call them out. He's not the type of bloke to do that. And he's a boss worthy working for." And Mark Byers loves a bit of humour, Mark. He says, anyway, let's end positively. Man City nil, Newcastle 4, Dubravka gets all 4, and the doorbell just rang, and the men in the white coat are here to collect me. Cheers, Mark. Thanks for that, mate. Fantastic stuff, as always. That's your lot for tonight. That is Jordy's here, Jordy's there. Big thanks to Mitch, to George, to Alwali, to Kevin, to Stu, and to everybody watching. I'm back 2:45 tomorrow. We'll talk with the tune. Until then, have a good night. See you later, lads.
Night, everybody.
Everyone.
Cheers, lads.